December 2024 episode of the In the Distance Oblivious Playlist Podcast. It's a podcast about music
by two people who love music. I'm here with the pasta-loving Big Al Hammond.
And I'm here with the Frank-forgetting Phoebe Fowler. Every month, we pick 11 songs of pretty much any genre or any time period that we put into a changing Spotify playlist. And our podcast talks about some of those songs we pick and anything else about music that might come into our tiny little heads.
Our podcast is never intended to be overly professional. It's basically unscripted, just two random people sitting around talking about music and why we often like,
but sometimes dislike,
each other's music tastes.
December, Phoebe.
Yay.
Welcome. It's the month of holidays.
It is the month of snow.
It's the month of snow.
Maybe not
in
Virginia right now.
Greetings.
Yeah.
The month you buy me many, many gifts.
Is that what I'm doing?
I think that's on the agenda.
You buying me many gifts?
Oh, yeah. Always.
Well, we're having one of your gifts right now, aren't we?
We are having a birthday gift.
Yes, we are.
As part of the ceremony, we have Whistlepig Piggyback Small Batch 100 proof bourbon whiskey.
Yep, indeed.
6 years. So we're changing the podcast around a little bit.
We are.
It'll be less about. We'll still feature our Spotify playlist that we do every month, but we're sort of going to be a little more loose and just sort of talk about music in general and whatever else we feel like talking about.
Exactly.
How have you been, Phoebe?
Well, you know.
Yeah.
As the state of the world changes, so does my mental state, you know?
same for me, same for Carl.
Yep.
Same for Frank.
Who is not here because I have once again neglected to bring Frank.
Oh dear, poor
I
Frank.
Wonder what my penalty will be.
I'm sure you'll hear about it from Frank when you get home.
Man.
But yeah, so we're going to change things up a little bit. We're still going to talk about the playlist. What did you think of your submissions? What did you think of my submissions?
It's funny. I mean, I go through these up and down emotions with my playlist every month.
Always.
I definitely wanted to have infuse some fun into my playlist, especially after this, the recent election.
Yes. You added some.
I had to fight the depression somehow. So
yeah,
there you go.
You added a little bit of wildness.
Sure did.
I believe.
Yeah, I mean, and for that reason, I do like it. I wasn't entirely sure that you were going to, but. That's what it's all about, introducing each other to new and interesting things.
Absolutely, and stuff we might not know about or always not. We usually like them, and I liked all of yours.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, some more than others, but I enjoyed listening to all of them. I don't think I liked mine.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean...
Yours grew on me, though.
I think both of us have two or three... really good standout songs, and I feel like the rest of them are kind of meh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't mind any of mine. I didn't mind any of yours, but I felt like mine were kind of weak.
There was a couple of yours that I was just like, oh, okay, you know, didn't really care about.
Yeah.
But that sometimes happens, you know.
Oh yeah, definitely. And you know, sometimes we'll submit 10 songs. And be super excited about them, and then you'll listen to them and be like, what the
like,
fuck was
exactly.
that?
Exactly. And like, oh wait, yeah, so those three, don't pick those, please.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have any guesses how you will score?
Boy, I struggled more than I thought I would this time. Maybe 7 for me.
Really?
I could see you getting like 8.
The other way around.
Really?
You're getting 9, I'm getting 7.
Wow, yep. Okay, well, we'll see.
I feel like my picks of both yours and mine are totally obvious. Like it should be completely clear what I'm going to pick.
It is never obvious to me, even my own picks that I think I'm going to pick. I have definitely changed my mind.
I've changed my mind on at least one of mine a whole lot. Yeah.
Yeah, you might be surprised by what I picked.
Okay, fair enough. What else have we been doing? Is anything new? We have a...
I think we've just been trying not to be depressed.
Yes.
And focus on the things that bring us joy, which is why we've changed our podcast around a little bit, you know?
Exactly.
Give us more free time to actually explore music and other topics and things that interest us.
Exactly.
And I think that's kind of what we've been doing,
yeah.
You know, making plans for the future.
Uh-huh. We still love our playlist that we do every month.
And we're, absolutely.
That brings us a great amount of joy. And we're definitely still going to keep doing that. But we thought we'd mix it up and talk a little bit about some other stuff.
Exactly.
And we'll do that later, later in the pod, as they say in the podcasting professional.
Who says that?
In the pod, yes.
Jesus. Y'all should see Big Al's face right now. He looks very pleased with himself.
The Green Brothers say that. They talk about, they say, thank you for doing the pod with me. John and Hank Green. I listened to them earlier.
Notice the silence.
It's entirely true.
I believe it. It's just you're so funny.
And they're obviously way more professional than we are, but they're also kind of goofballs.
I love that they're goofballs. Yeah.
We look at them as role models.
Definitely.
That's something else we could talk about in future episodes. We could talk about other podcasts that we love.
That is a great idea.
And we could even do a feature of doing every month. We could review a different podcast.
Ooh.
You know?
We could do another podcast about music even.
A podcast about music or about, you know, like the Green Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like their podcast is sort of about everything, but they also talk about the latest news from Mars and the Wimbledon British soccer team, whose name I can't remember. Anyway.
Yeah. No, I like that. That's it. And this is why we're doing this, with switching things up. Expand our interests a little bit.
Expand our interests and also just sort of be a little bit goofier and...
And less stale.
Well, and also I think we always try to... If we start getting the least little bit professional, we need to knock that back down.
Yeah, let's fuck it up a little bit.
Exactly. So at this point, we're going to take a little break, and we are going to go pick our playlist, and you don't get to hear about it until we come back, and then we'll tell you what we picked. We'll go over each song briefly, and we'll talk a little bit about some of that. So here's a little incidental music, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hopefully with something fantastic.
So congratulations to the wonderful and gifted Phoebe Fowler, who got 8 correct songs. Big Al fell behind a bit.
Didn't do as well this time around.
Well. Only got 6 this time. It's been a while since either of us has only gotten 6. Yep, that's not incorrect. But congratulations, you got to pick the two potential 11th songs.
I did.
That I picked one of. We'll get to that. So let's start in, and we'll briefly go over the songs that got in.
All right, sounds good. The first song in the Spotify playlist is Glory Box by Portishead from their album Dummy, released in 1994. I picked this song as one of my 2 songs, and I actually used to listen to Portishead a lot in high school. And at some point I fell down some sort of rabbit hole and found them again and started listening to them again. So they were my submission this month. Give me a reason to Number two in our playlist is Odie Lee, her song Shoots and Ladders. It's a single released in 2023. Odie Lee was also previously in our playlist with her song Accommodating from September 2023, and this was Big Al's pick.
The third song is Be All Right by Dalcord from the album Timeless Rambler from this year. I like this one a lot because the album cover had an old camper van on it, and the song kind of feels like it belongs on a road trip somehow. Phoebe picked this one, and I'm very glad she did.
The fourth song in our playlist is The Whole Night Sky by Bruce Coburn. Big Al said that this was cheating when I put this one in, and I have to agree, but if you've listened to him at all in any of his songs, you'd agree that this needed to be in. He was previously in our playlist with a song Night Train. I forget exactly which month it was, but it wasn't that, was it that long ago? Yeah, whatever. He deserved to come back, so here he is again. The fifth song in our playlist is Woman by The Ballroom Thieves and Lady Lamb. Single released in 2021. I actually didn't really know much about them, but for some reason this song just stuck in my head and would not leave over the past week. So here it is.
Next up at number six is Anna Ash. The song is Favorite Part from the album Sleeper in 2022. This is Anna's second time in our playlist. Her first song was Earthquake from July of 2021. And I think she might have been submitted another time by me and then didn't get in. I can't remember. I think we agreed that the live version of this is probably way better than the studio version.
Definitely.
It's a good song. The seventh song is a favorite of mine, Two Wooden Spoons by This Is a Kit. That is from 2010. Her first time in the playlist was the song Bulletproof in March of 2023. And I love her so much. I love this song so much. And like, this was completely a throwaway for me. Like, I submitted this song only because I took something else out at the last minute and put this in. And I had no intention whatsoever of liking this. And it just, I just adore her. I adore her talent. And I love this song. And she's a motherfucking nightingale of a whistler.
I just want to say, having watched the video, that should have been the studio version. It's not even the same song. Like, if that was studio version, I definitely would have voted for that.
I like the studio version almost as much, but I don't disagree with you that the live one is a little better. The eighth song was actually our final 11th pick, so Phoebe won the voting. So she got to pick two songs. This next song that I'm going to play, and another one, which was If God Put a Gun to My Head by Ezra Bell. And the one that she picked that I liked better, that I picked, was I Could Have Been Your Lover Too by Rachel Baiman from the album Shame in 2017. I really liked her soulful, beautiful bluesy singing in this, and the band they're playing.
100% agree. Yep. Coming up on number nine in our playlist is Attaboy with their song Lucky. This was Big Al's pick. And I didn't really know much about them beforehand, but I really like them. I mean, we were talking about their voice, how it sounds raw and innocent and believable. And I'd have to agree.
The The 10th song is Cale Tyson's Not Healthy Anymore. It's a single from 2018. I really wanted there to be a video for this. I would like to see him singing this. It's such a, I really like this because it's such a catchy song that, like, it makes me want to, like, be more invested in him somehow. But this was a good one. And the last song, maybe we're saving the best for last, I'm not sure, is Eric Turino with Jolie Holland. The song is Mark, or St. Francis Blues. It's a single from 2024. This is its first appearance in the playlist. And this is just ethereal and spooky and worldly.
Spooky is a really good word for it.
His wonderful, weird little falsetto voice. Oh, man. And Jolie Holland's violin playing. She obviously has been in our playlist a bunch of times, but this is his first and a wonderful first appearance. So those were our current 11 songs from this month, this December's playlist. We hope you enjoyed them. So we thought we'd come back and talk about a little bit more in depth about some of those songs that did get in, some of those songs that did not get in. And I will go on record as saying there's a lot of things I don't know. You know, one of the things I don't know, I don't know karate, but I do know crazy.
Oh, man.
So one of the songs he did not get in was The Payback by the Godfather of Soul, Mr. James Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about videos here for a moment. Had you ever seen James Brown performing live?
Yes. Yeah. I have seen videos.
Right.
And holy shit.
But this one did not disappoint, right?
It fulfilled my expectations and exceeded my expectations.
Yes. And the video is from like the 70s. It's from super old. And
that fucking jumpsuit he has on.
The jumpsuit.
The fact that he has on a jumpsuit.
And the fact that the dude.
Jesus.
I don't know how old he was. He's not super young. He's still doing his fucking splits.
That splits and God knows what else that man was doing. Whatever he was on was fucking sending him through to the moon.
The cocaine in the 70s was apparently very effective.
God.
But that was a good one. And I was hoping that would get in just for the video.
Frankly, the only reason why I did not vote for it, like, of course, initially I was like, oh, this is definitely getting in, oh my god. Mm-hmm. The reason why I didn't, it's because it's fucking James Brown, okay? And like,
I will say that's probably not my favorite James Brown song.
Mm-hmm.
But once I saw the video, I was like, shit, no, please let this in.
Oh man, not saying that I won't submit another James Brown song.
Feel free. No, that's good shit.
Yeah, that was a fun one. I also kind of just felt that too many depressing things have happened over the last couple weeks with the election and everything. Yes. I was like, I need some fucking pep in my step. Let's bring it up.
Uh-huh. And he did that.
Yep.
Speaking of pep in the step, I think he's got some style. He's got some pep.
Camus has pep in his step to spare. You know what I mean?
I came very close to picking that one myself. Like, it's just so funny and stylish and smart. And it's also
very
musically
smart.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Uh huh.
I appreciate that you appreciate.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's good stuff. I will say one that got in that I'm a little less enthralled with than you are,
mm-hmm,
is the Portishead.
Why? Look, okay. I kind of thought that you were either going to really like that or you weren't. And I kind of thought that you might think it was like too jazzy or something. It was like too weird.
I know this is the original.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear this, I want to hear the John Martin version.
I like this version better.
Yeah.
Maybe because it's like my own sentimental attachments to the song and them. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, I get that, and I like it, but there's something about his that just.
Mm-hmm. I do like his version a lot.
Yeah, that was in the playlist a couple of years ago, maybe 17 years ago. Yeah, it's been a while, and it was actually submitted by my friend Christina that initially sent me that song.
Okay, good to know.
What else do you want to talk about?
Maybe the Odie Lee? Do we care about that?
Yeah, definitely. And do you remember where you found that?
I had been listening to, their stuff. It's been on my radar for a little while. Mm-hmm. And that song that you had, the previous one, Accommodating, that's the name of the song.
Mm-hmm. Was that my song?
I believe it was your song. Yeah. And I remember liking it a lot and making a note to go back, and I basically put it in a future playlist, listen later kind of thing. And I finally listened later, a year later.
Right.
But man, I really like that song.
I like it a lot, and it's, we talked about this earlier, there's a bunch of your songs that kind of started out for me, when the song starts, it's like, oh, okay, this is fine, but it doesn't quite grab you, but then there were several of your songs that got way more interesting as the song progressed and as you listened to it more. And this was a good one that it's like, starts out, it's like a fine little song, but then it keeps getting more interesting musically.
Yes.
And she does different things and different tones. And the part later where the cello comes in. Ugh.
And just, honestly, her overall delivery and phrasing is just, it's so smart and it's fucking believable, you know?
Yeah. We talked about this when we looked at the video, too. The video, the live video, shows what a really strong singer, a strong vocalist she is. Like, she hits notes that are not easy to hit, just effortlessly.
And on the day that we're recording, she's playing in Charlottesville, and we will be missing that.
We will miss that.
But so maybe we'll catch it on her next run around here.
Let's
come
wave
to Richmond.
Let's wave to Odie as her bus drives by.
Hi.
Next time, come to the big city. I have a good story about one of my songs that did not get in. Do you know Modest Mouse?
I do.
Do you know the connection?
Mm-mm.
Modest Mouse is Ugly Casanova.
Oh.
That's the vocal.
Like
if that voice sounds familiar, it's because it's Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse. And the good story here is that the name Ugly Casanova comes from a book of journals by a Modest Mouse fan named Edgar Brock, who broke into one of their shows in Denver in 1998. And somehow Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse somehow befriended this fan, Edgar Brock, who broke into their shows, and somehow got access to his journals. I think most of Ugly Casanova's lyrics are from the journals of this crazed fan.
What? I
love that story.
But like, just somehow imagining a crazed fan of Modest Mouse, you're like.
And Ugly Casanova is Edgar Brock, the fan's pen name.
Mm-hmm.
So when Isaac Brock of Modest Mouse put together this side group, he was looking for a name, and he stole the name of the crazed fan's alter ego.
Jeez. I wonder if the crazed fan had just died and gone to heaven at that point.
Maybe, yeah. these were good songs, and I think we both thought this was going to be a weirder final playlist than it actually became. There's a couple of slight outliers, but it
goes together pretty well. Yeah. I mean, it could have easily gone the other way too.
Absolutely. But if it had gone the other way, we might have known karate. And crazy.
And the vibe.
Exactly. Right. I'll also say, one more thing I wanted to say was how much I love This Is the Kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I love her / them more than you do. Man, that song makes me happy. God, I told you, like, I put that song in only because I took something else out at the last minute,
right,
and needed a tenth song. And I was like, okay, yeah, this is a fun song. I'll put this in. I had no intention of really even liking it that much. And something about it, I think when I read the lyrics and her, just like her sweetness and her minimal, simplistic little wordplay. Ah, I love that song so much. What do you like?
No, I do like it a lot. It's funny you say wordplay, because if you like, it's not simplistic, but if you like really good wordplay, you need to listen to Dochi.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Bringing that back.
Tell me more about why you appreciate her. And like the video we watched is just wonderfully
yeah,
stylish.
Yeah, go watch
and
the
fun
video, y'all.
And great.
I mean,
tell me more about why you like her and why I should pay attention to her and why our listeners should pay attention to her.
I like her flow a lot. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love rap and I always want to listen to more, but
and
it's
by
like,
flow, you mean just the way words come out of her mouth.
Exactly.
Right.
The way she places the words when she raps, mm-hmm, and sings and all of that.
And
like
rhythm,
the hip hop and the rhythm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It all just blends so well for me. And like her lyrics are so smart and I love her wordplay. And
uh-huh,
she has such a great sense of humor. Dochi is amazing, and that's why I think you should listen to her.
And that video is also fucking gorgeous, right?
Yeah, that was a beautiful video.
Yeah. That's good stuff. So I think that's all we have to talk about for this month. So we're going to take a little interlude, and we're going to come back and talk about something completely unrelated to our playlist musically. Keeping with our somewhat new format here of having a little bit less about the actual playlist and more just sort of us rambling, talking about music crap that we like, we watched a great Lowell George documentary. Lowell George being late of Little Feet. He died a long time ago. Little Feet, if you don't know, was a band that started in the LA area in the early 70s, maybe even late 60s,
I
early
70s. Like 70, 71?
Yeah, early
something
70s.
Like
and were super active in the 70s. Lowell George passed away, I think, in 79 or 80, roughly.
79.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the documentary sort of talks a little bit about his career, early in his career. A lot of people don't know that he was a sideman and sort of got a lot of his musical upbringing from Frank Zappa, of all people.
Oh, yeah.
Which was a cool part of the story that a lot of people are less aware of. He also met original drummer Richie Hayward,
mm-hmm,
of Little Feet while he was with Zappa. And it was an interesting documentary to me, and I loved Little Feet when I was growing up. My brother was a big Little Feet fan. I saw Little Feet live in 78, I think, not long before Lowell passed away.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
Really good, but also you could sense tension. So Little Feet sort of started out because Lowell George sort of fancied himself with considerable reason, sort of fancied himself as a blue-eyed soul singer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to sing R&B music.
He also wanted, like, he was definitely influenced by Howlin' Wolf, so.
Oh, definitely.
It's like listening to, it
and
makes
a lot
sense,
of,
right?
A lot of those blues cats,
mm-hmm,
right? Howlin' Wolf especially, and the documentary touches on that a lot. But Little Feet sort of started with that in mind, and then transformed into being, for lack of a better word, even a little more black,
mm-hmm,
when they added Sam Clayton and Kenny Gradney. And we can talk about that some too. But then at some point, the band sort of shifted from being more Lowell-centric to Bill Payne and Paul Barrera, who were their keyboard player and second guitar player. And they sort of took more of the lead in the songwriting and then the singing and sort of being the front man. And Lowell sort of took a back seat to some degree, both his musical influence and his singing and leading the band and influences, whatever. And when I saw them, you sort of got the sense that Lowell had like sort of checked out a little bit. And Lowell was also a troubled soul and was having some substance abuse issues and whatever. But I found that documentary so interesting. What do you think about Lowell George as a soul singer, as an R&B singer?
I think he was a fantastic singer. And I mean, when you, it's obvious that like a lot of that comes from black music, right? And it's all inspired by that. And you can make whatever arguments that you want, but that guy could fucking sing.
He was so good. He was a great slide guitar player, but I think his biggest talent was probably as a vocalist.
Right? Yeah. I mean, he had many talents just watching that little documentary, for sure.
The documentary was interesting. A lot of it featured Van Dyke Parks, who was a famous singer, songwriter, producer, and worked with Lowell throughout his career and throughout his life. And I was curious as to your take on, at some point, I can't remember whether it was Van Dyke Parks or somebody else, was saying, and I'm paraphrasing here probably, was talking about how Lowell could sing black. As a black woman, do you think Lowell sang like a black person?
I definitely don't want to make any, I'm not going to speak for the black community on that.
Right.
But like listening to him, it's clear to me that he sounds like a black singer because of his influences the people that he's modeled himself after. Yeah. So it's like he's definitely heavily inspired by that. Mm-hmm. And it comes across in his style, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of hard to like imagine him not being a white guy, because he obviously is.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's clear that those are his influences.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's so, the documentary did a good job, I thought, about talking about his influences and the debt that he obviously owed to blues artists, R&B artists, black artists.
And I feel like that's something that, like, frankly, isn't talked about enough. I mean, I know it's 2024, and music rights and all other stuff is far beyond my comprehension, but a lot of that comes from black artists or queer artists or X, Y, and Z artists, you know what I mean? And, like, we all get our influences from somewhere, but I think when it's there's like it's kind of almost like a line there, like a sort of like a gray area where it's like, okay, you're obviously influenced by soul, and like that soul comes from this particular group of people, and I feel like that's something that can easily be lost in translation, right? Then you have like this artist that comes out, it's like, oh man, what a great soul singer, all this other stuff, but it's like that's coming from something, right?
Sure.
Whether or not the person has innate talent, which he clearly does, in fucking spades, he did. But yeah, that's just something I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, no,
and
I'm
it's
glad
something
he did.
That he has expressed his appreciation for.
Yeah, I think Lowell was never shy about the influences and the debt that he owed to blues artists, black artists, R&B artists, etc. I thought the documentary would have been so much stronger, though, had it, instead of Van Dyke Parks, who I love and who I think is a tremendous talent, like rather than have a bunch of old white dudes talking about how Lowell sang black. If they had actually like managed to get Sam Clayton or Kenny Gradney
that's kind of my point, right? It's like yes, this artist has shown his appreciation and has given credit where credit's due, all that other stuff. But like when they create these documentaries and things, you have to pay attention to who's speaking on these documentaries. I mean, it's kind of like the same thing where it's like, you have a documentary about like sea animals and you have somebody that has nothing to do with sea animals that's talking about what the fuck are they talking about? You know what I mean?
But I went to the aquarium one time.
Exactly. That it's literally what it like, and I get that you are in the music industry or whatever, you're a producer or whatever, but it's like, it would be helpful, especially when you're talking about marginalized groups, to have maybe some representation
there. A marginalized person.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's...
And not like as like a token person there, but it's just like people that were part of the experience that grew up in that, that maybe, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And again, you know, like, would it have been, I mean, I'm not saying, the documentary was interesting that, like, and I know, like, at least a couple of them are dead, but, like, it would have been nice to have some members of Little Feet actually speaking in the documentary. Like, most of it was, like, people he knew long, long, long ago.
Right.
But no bandmates and no, I can't remember anybody, any people of color being interviewed in the documentary, which was unfortunate. Which,
that's odd.
Yeah.
For me. It's, yeah, that's strange. It makes me wonder if something is there.
Right. But on the whole, I really enjoyed that documentary. Mm-hmm. And I think any fans of that style of music, and like to call it R&B music is missing a huge part of the picture. Like, they played R&B music, but they had influences all over. They were tons of, like, New Orleans kind of style, sort of Southern boogie-woogie kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's crossovers between black music and those music, too. But, like, point being, like, they weren't a band that was trying to play soul music. Right. They were a band that just played any kind of music that they felt a groove about,
right?
Including soul music, including New Orleans music.
But they definitely got influences from, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
To like pigeonhole them as like this is their genre would be incorrect.
Yeah. I think the documentary did do a really good job of acknowledging not only their various influences, but how much they weren't a band, even back in the day, they weren't a band that sold a lot of records, that they weren't a band that ever had any hits. They were never a top 40 band. Mm-hmm. They were never super popular. They never got a lot of radio play other than album-oriented rock kind of stuff.
And it's also, at that time, it's not surprising that they weren't mainstream popular.
But they were a huge, like, anybody that knows music.
Uh-huh.
Knows them and owes a debt to them and appreciates their sort of genre mixing and influences and just how much fucking fun they were to listen to. Yeah, that's good stuff. Thanks for listening. Both our Spotify playlist and this silly little podcast are updated and released around the first of each month. We're recorded every month in the warm and cozy hub of the ONL Studios in downtown Manchester, Richmond, Virginia.
If you've enjoyed our podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to our finished ordered playlist on Spotify by searching for In the Distance Oblivious.
You can visit our podcast home on the internet at itdo.name. Email us with questions or suggestions at music@itdo.name.
Thanks to Whistle Pig, Piggyback, 100 Proof Bourbon Whiskey, and recording this month.
Our theme music is from Red Eye by Ease Jammy Jams. We find a lot of our great background music from Blue Dot Sessions, and all of our music credits are listed in our show notes.
Thanks to Odie Lee.
Thanks to This Is The Kit.
And thanks, Frank.
Please keep listening. Tell your friends.
crazy. Yes, we do.
And Henry Bart.